Welcome to those of you who have kindly joined us for the first time this evening. To give us a little understanding of what we were talking about yesterday, so that we know where we are now, let us summarize a little bit the verses we have discussed so far. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that if we can't live physically in Vrindavan, we should do so mentally in our minds. The Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas bring us to Vrindavan in a successive way. In the beginning, they talk about, these are three or four verses, I should say, from the Brahma Samhita, which talk about that wonderful place which only a very few rare souls know, where there is Siam colored Lord Govinda together with Srimati Radharani and many gopis. Chaitanya Mangal starts like this, that Narada Muni comes to this beautiful place and sees Lord Krishna and Radharani surrounded by really multitudes of gopis who all serve the divine couple. Then it is a little bit more described how this Goloka Vrindavan looks like. Oceans of milk are there, poured by the loving emotions of the Surabhi cows. And although we are informed the trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and the earth is also composed of Chintamani jewels, which are touchstones, there is no opulent show of gold and opulence. The residents of Vrindavan used the Kalpa Vriksha trees not to wish for palaces and maybe vehicles and so on, but they want only items to serve Lord Krishna. We have heard about the wonderful nature of these conscious trees who burst into bloom when Radha and Krishna enter them. Also the touchstone and everything is very, should not deceive us that we think it is some other atmosphere. It is a very rural and very sweet Madhuri atmosphere. Then we have heard a little bit about the most fortunate residents of Vrindavan who have ample opportunity to associate with Krishna and Balaram, because Krishna and Balaram always walk around the area of Braj. You should know that there is a silent pact between the animals and the wind in Vrindavan. They all have decided on one thing, and that is that neither the animals nor the wind of Vrindavan will ever touch the footprints of Sri Krishna and Balaram, because these footprints should be maintained as they are. That means no ants will crawl over the footprints, because they consider it the best artwork in existence, the footprint of Lord Krishna. And it should not be touched and spoiled in any ways. The wind will blow in the trees of Vrindavan so that they look as if they would perform arati to the divine couple while the branches move, but they will not even move one piece of dust in order to even slightly distort the beautiful footprints of Sri Krishna. So naturally, the Bhagavatam says, this land is very fortunate. the Lord walks there. And you must know one thing, Krishna will put shoes on in Dwaraka, but not in Vrindavan. It's too special for him. He wants to feel it. Yes. Those who can develop the required amount of skin underneath the foot, the biological Hornhaut, it's in German. It's like the cow has a lot of it, all the foot is made out of it, and the human being can also develop a little layer. And they should take lesson and also try to walk barefoot at this place. Now we will continue to listen to Vrindavan from two amazing perspectives. One is we will hear the residents of Mathura talk about Vrindavan, and then we will hear a very intelligent person, the most intelligent person in the universe, talk about Vrindavan. Who this is, we will introduce him a little later. He will come on the stage of our contemplation a little later. Let us first hear the residents of Mathura talk about Vrindavan.
Aho, they start. Aho. Oh, Almighty Lord, how greatly fortunate. No, wrong. This we had already. I'm sorry, the next verse says, the women of Mathura exclaimed, oh, also oh, what severe austerities the gopis must have performed to be able to regularly see Krishna and Balaram, who are the greatest source of pleasure for all mankind.
These women of Mathura are very intelligent. They do understand that the sadhaka who wishes to approach Radha and Krishna absolutely needs to practice some austerities. An easygoing life and the desire to come closer to Radha and Krishna don't go together. Listen what the gopis did. Women of Mathura, they are assuming, maybe even speculating, what they did to attain Krishna. Here is from Shastra what they did. In the Nectar of Devotion, we hear that during the time of Rama's incarnation, some forest-dwelling saints wished to be very close to Rama and enjoy the most closest of all possible friendships, that is, that Madhurya Ras. I must speak louder. So they desired this, but they were in male forms. They couldn't associate that closely with Lord Rama, as a dear beloved does with her beloved. Not possible. So Lord Rama said, don't worry, because by your austerities and by your strong desire, you will attain me in another life. That is when you will be born as gopis and associate with. Once my older brother helped publishing the cookbook in German, and we had a picture on top of the cookbook where Lord Krishna enjoys with his cowherd boyfriends a wonderful meal, which is even more interesting than what happens outside of the door. It is so wonderful. Then Lord So he had printed this. Krishna was sitting there enjoying prasadam with his cowherd boyfriends. This is a very amazing scene. One day Krishna told to his cowherd boys, just to give you an understanding, this actually, tomorrow we want to feast. Please tell your mothers they must make special good items. So then they all met on the bank of the river Jamuna the next morning. Actually, they went there. And they started to make their lunch packets. They put them out. And they all had very nice prasadams, very nice food, sweets and sabjis, and so on and so forth. Only Madhu Mangal, the Brahmin, had only a little vay. Now, I might not say it properly. Is it the right pronunciation? Vay? When you churn butter from milk, you get the butter and...
Way.
Yes, this bird. Way. In German, the word is Molke, those who understand German. In here, it is in Braj, is Mata, I believe. At least I always say this when I'm thirsty, and they give this way, Mata. Well, butter is something... No, it's buttermilk, actually. It's buttermilk, yes. No, that's something else. Whey is not buttermilk. It is... Yes, sometimes it's like buttermilk. Yes, if you churn the milk and you get the butter, and then you get the rest, which is called buttermilk in our language. Madhu Mangal only had a cup of buttermilk, and he's always so hungry. What is buttermilk doing for him? And this buttermilk was 3 days old. It was not fresh. So he was looking very frustrated. So Krishna saw his dear beloved friend, and he said, "Oh, the Madhu Mangals, you have such nice preparations, you're not giving me." And he took the pot of buttermilk from him, a clay pot, very poor, Madhu Mangals, poor Brahmin, and started to drink it, and it came all over his face. Lord Brahma saw this. He looked from the clouds and said, Lord Brahma had heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared in Braj. And he wanted to examine him and looked from the cloud. And he saw this boy sitting in the middle, snatching a pot, a muchi pot, because it was touched already by Madhu Mangal, who didn't like it, and pouring it all over him. And the buttermilk was coming here and glistening on the transcendental chest of the Lord, but he doesn't even know the rules of Smriti. Don't touch what another has eaten. Brahma looked. They say this is God. I mean, when you say this about Ram, at least there's a bow and you can see. But here, there's nothing. Only has some rural flute. Don't believe it. Then he saw something which irritated his intelligence. He saw for how all of a sudden on a divine bull Shiva appeared and came like this, and whatever spilled from Krishna's chest, he was going like this and drinking as the supreme nectar. And he thought, anyway, Shiva is sometimes, I mean, he goes and sits at the burial place, and he rubs his body with white ashes. No wonder that he drinks from this cowherd boy. culture. But he was ready to examine the thing. An intelligent man will only draw his ultimate conclusion after a thorough examination. And you know the rest of the story because you have heard it in 101 lectures already. He stole the cowherd boys and brought them into a hiding place. I have heard Brahmaloka, but there are also other hiding places. And then he wanted to see what had happened. He went back after a moment in his time, but 1 year had passed, and he saw that nothing had changed. There were all the cowherd boys, same cowherd boys. You also know why they were there. Sridhar, what are they? These cowherd boys? Cow? Krishna. Krishna had expanded himself in these cowherd boys. And also the cows there, I forgot to mention, they were also stolen. So Brahma was totally confused. And then Krishna showed him the supreme intelligent being of the universe, the first being who was bewildered. He showed him who these cows were by expanding himself in a form Brahma could very much respect, the Vishnu forms. Brahma then offered his obeisances, and now we will hear some verses from Lord Brahma about Krishna and Vrindavan. Do you understand why now we need to hear from the most intelligent being? Because the sadhaka, who has heard that this is the highest place, who has heard some of the glories of Braj, may still not be on the platform of pure love of Godhead, and his intelligence needs to be convinced now. This can be done in many ways. One of the ways is that we listen now to the most intelligent being in the universe glorifying. How nice these verses are. It's a very deep meditation. Please listen. Put all your intelligence into your ears for a moment, or let me say into the listening capabilities, and let us listen to Brahma. Sarika might say, the women of Mathura have said, you know, he may be a beginner on the path. He may even be a little bit troubled with all kinds of doubts. So now Brahma said, oh Brahma, he also talks about Braj. Let us hear. Let us hear. First of all, he says, I'm a fool. I can't really talk. There are people who say, I, Brahma, know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Better be silent. Oh my Lord, let me say this one thing, however. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body and words. My mind cannot reach to there where you are. I can't understand you. My words will never be able to glorify you. They're not sufficient. And also, with my body, I am a very conditioned soul. Next verse. My dear Krishna, I now humbly request permission to leave. Brahma is, in other words, so ashamed that he says, I better get out of here fast. When we feel so much out of place, then we just feel, no, this is too high for me, I better. These devotees are just too exalted. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the words are used. Another time, Brahma felt like a fly amongst elephants. Don't belong there. Hare Krishna. Let me. But then he doesn't get out immediately. He says a few more words, verses. He says, "You are, however, no. You are the knower and seer of all things. You know everything. I am ashamed to talk before you. Indeed, you are the Lord of all the universes, not me. Foolish people say me, but you are. And yet, I offer this one universe unto you. Now, this is my offering. I am the Lord of the universe." People say like this, "Take it all, please. I'm so dean, so fallen." "My dear Shri Krishna," next verse, "you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty and expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods, the brahmanas, and the cows." In other words, Brahma says, "You are for your own people. You are with the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty. I'm not qualified here. And you take care that the earth, the opulences, is expanded. When Krishna touched the earth, the earth developed so many minerals out of ecstasy. When Krishna, the demigods became happy and protected because the demons were taken care of. And you take care of brahmanas and the cows. I'm not in these categories. I have no business here. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion and oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists, and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you." When you feel just very humble, this is natural. You want to pay obeisances. Have you ever been with a great devotee? You feel, okay, I have already paid one obeisance. It's not enough. Another time. Then when you say goodbye, you go, "Please accept my humble obeisances." Then you are at the door. Oh, he's there. Okay, again I pay my obeisances. Or when you are with the deities, you know, one obeisance is after another, one Hare Krishna after another. There's a reason. There are three things which a devotee can never have enough of. Now, this is not money. It's not ladus. It's not. A real devotee can never have enough of bhajan. He cannot stop. He's not in the mood of 16 rounds, bus. Now, my dear Bibek, you please join the wall and hang, and I will hang you up on a nail. Bang! That's where you belong now. So, his bhajan, he cannot have enough. Bhakti, he cannot have enough. Never enough. The gopis don't, or the great devotees never say, "I am there, I am very exalted, I am like when you have made the examination in Bhakti Shastri, this will come in a few days, and some of us are already getting nervous. But when you finally make it, please don't go like saying, "Okay, I made the examination, goodbye books, you have stressed me now successfully for half a year, now..." Goodbye. No. Devotee should not have enough of these bhakti shastras. There's so much more rasa, so much more relishment, so much more knowledge to be excavated and inspiration. And prema, that's the third thing. Krishna has blessed these three things that they are inexhaustible. You can do bhajan, you can feel bhakti, you can feel prema, and you will never get enough. Hare Krishna. You will want more and more. Krishna will turn you into a beggar. Oh. More name, more bhakti, please. I can't, I have nothing. More prema. This morning some of us have been in Dhavanalakund. We had read ancient Vaishnava prayer where said that you turn your devotees into beggars. They always want. Yes, because this is transcendental. So Brahma is starting to get, you know, he is convinced and he says, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you. Please accept my humble obeisances again and again and again. Next verse. This earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails. It's explained that Krishna would sometimes climb on the trees, especially when he saw that one cow was missing. You know, in the evening he would be in Ter Kadamba, he would play his flute and call with his transcendental flute his cows. Now he has millions and billions of cows, but when he saw one cow was missing, Krishna was climbing up the tree and calling for this cow. Hey Dhavali, what happened? Dhavali. The cow, who was hiding behind a bush, waiting, will Krishna notice that I'm missing? Or will he be, will he not notice me? The universe, wow, he's called my name, woo, go and come to Krishna. Don't we also sometimes feel this need to be recognized? Very much. This is a great need to be loved. So on. The cows of Krishna also helped. We should learn from the cows that we want to be loved by, you know, recognized by Krishna. How to do this? Prabhupada said, we want the recognition of Krishna, that this person has done something for my service. This type of recognition we want to have in this world. That's how we do. So yes, I find this very encouraging that Krishna notices Krishna climbs up the tree and notices this cow has not come and Dhavali, and I do not know all the many cow's names. I know Hansi is another cow name. Who knows other cow names? Siamali. Yes. Siamali. Aruni. Many more. Billions. Krishna notices. That's a whole other point. I wish to stay a little bit from the verses and not go. The point was climbing trees. And from there we wandered into, you notice, Krishna climbs the trees, touches the tree. When Radha and Krishna go through the forest of Vrindavan, they sometimes caress the trees. Trees. In Nectar of Devotion, there's one verse of it's a Kadamba tree who cries, who says, today Krishna has not touched me. And he cries. This Kadambati was standing at a place, and Krishna was coming by and touching not always the tree, but the shade of the tree. That was sufficient for the Kadambati. He just made it. And he was lamenting, Krishna has not touched my tree, touched my shade today. He was accustomed to this. And then a friend of the Kadambati, don't worry. Don't become mad with ecstasy now. Gopal is just coming. This is how the verse ends. It's just coming. So Krishna used to touch the grass also and the earth. We hear from Krishna Das Kaviraj that as he touched the earth, sometimes lotuses would immediately sprung up from his footprints. Well, then they didn't know of the pact. So the wind didn't touch the footprints, but the lotuses did. These were land-growing lotuses who immediately imagine seeing Krishna running through Vrindavan and bing, bing, bing. How beautiful, how wonderful. So, this earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails. And because you have grazed her rivers, mountains, birds and animals with your merciful glances. Krishna looked all over. Now the glance of Lord Krishna is very special. We always, during Kartik, we pray this prayer. Please join me if you are familiar with this. Munindra vrindavannite tiloka shokarini prasanna vakta pankaje nikunya bhuvilasini prajendra balulandini prajendra suno sangate kadakarishya siyamam kripa kataksha bhajanam kadakarishya siyamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. This is how they chant this in Vashana. It is a prayer where the devotee prays to Srimati Radhika, please look at me just once from the corner of your eyes. The devotee also prays, look at me, Krishna, see me, see me. When Lord Chaitanya, when he took darshan, he went always next to the Garuda Stamba. It had different reason, but one reason is because Krishna always looks at his devotees. So Lord Chaitanya thought, I'm not a devotee, but Garuda is. And if the Lord looks, he will always look at Garuda, and then I'm there. And in this way the Lord will look at me. Because the Lord looks at you, you will get life. We know from Kaliya pastimes that when the cowherd boys were dead on the ground because they had drunken from the water of the Yamuna, which was poisoned by Kaliya, when they were dead and lying unconscious on the ground, then Krishna came and revived them with his glance. When you go to the deities, don't say, oh, how does Krishna look today? Let me look at Krishna. This is also, yes, of course, we will hopefully look at Krishna. But more important is that Krishna looks at you. This is a different concept. It turns us into the seen. And it acknowledges the supreme seer to be Krishna and not me who exploits this world, sees everything and thinks his own thing. That also gives you solace, because sometimes you may be miserable before the deities, and you may, for instance, in Braj Mandir Parikram, you may be so totally exhausted that you cannot concentrate even one second on anything else than a plate of prasadam. It may be. So at that time you come before the deities and your mind is, when someone asks you, have you seen the beautiful outfit of Radha and Krishna? And Krishna's greenish dress sparkled with stars? No, I have not seen. Then if you are in this mood, you can just say, but Krishna has most probably seen me with all my weaknesses. When you come before the deities, you should be seen. That is, do things right when you... Don't be overly dirty when you go to the deities. Don't talk before the deities. He sees it. And so on. Don't pass air before he will become disturbed, as we become disturbed. We don't. Hare Krishna. I'm a little blunt. I'm very sorry. Not necessary to mention the. So yes. Now we will. We almost come to the end of this session. The next verse is Brahma really now thinks about his condition and thinks about his desire in his life. Can you imagine what a personality like Brahma could desire after having seen Vrindavan? It's difficult. I could also not imagine, to be very frank with you, love of Godhead. Or, no. Yes, of course. But this he wants to have by becoming close to the devotees of Vrindavan, by being blessed by the dust of the Vrajavasis. My greatest possible good fortune would be to take my birth, whatever it is, in this forest of my greatest possible good fortune would be to take my birth, whatever, in this forest of Gokula, and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still being searched for in the Vedic mantras. The Vedas still have no accurate understanding, at least not that they give it, of Krishna. So, yes, the Vedas have not found Krishna, but the people in Vrindavan have. The entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda. Even today, Bhakta Mark has told me an amazing story which I wanted to tell you. He was in some email shop trying to make the connection, but it did not work, and there was the wife of the owner. And Mark started to talk to her. It's whom do you worship? And you know, somehow they talked. Somehow she said, "I'm worshiping Durga." So Mark, with his half rupee worth of understanding at that time of the Brijvasis, thought, "Well, she's in Vrindavan and worships Durga." Then started to preach to her, just worship Krishna. It's Vrindavan. And she said, no, I cannot worship Krishna. Because, see, I consider him part of the family. How can I worship him? He's part of the family. And do you know why they worship Durga? Because she is a powerful mistress of the universe and can give protection to Krishna, that everything goes well in Krishna's life. This is how they worship. We cannot conceive of this. We cannot conceive of this. Of course, sometimes the Brijbasis will be heavy, trying to cheat us on the rickshaw price and the rickshaw price, the drive on the rickshaw. Sometimes they may be this and that, but in their hearts of hearts, they are very attached to Krishna. Even the present day Brijbasis. 5 years ago or so, this is what His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj told me. The topmost Gunda men in Vrindavan had a duel with some other Gunda men, and he was badly hurt. Then he was sitting on the... Now this Gunda men had offered a lot of money every day toward the worship of Banka Bihari. Because he's a devotee. Great devotee of Lord Krishna. And now he was in his village, all the other Gundas were around him and he was dying. What did he do? He chanted like anything. Radhe, 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 Radhe. He didn't want any injection to kill the pain because he said he wanted to die chanting the name of Radha. A great devotee. It's very difficult to conceive if he has the pistol before your head, you know, it says, Angrezi, come on. Dollars. You say, I don't have any. Rupees nay, you say. And he just goes with his pistol, click. Do you know the next one could be the... And he smiles at you, Radhe, Radhe, click! Smash poor since he says, oh. Take it, take it. Pistol, mate. Then you look, and whatever you have, you will have to surrender, you know, because he's not a fool. He will not be satisfied with the little which you have stuck somewhere, but he wants it all. But he's a great devotee. It's difficult to understand. How will we understand? But the great devotees say, even if the Brijbasis curse me, and even if they engage in meaningless prajalpa. You know, about the newspapers, and you hear it's prajalpa. They are the most worshipable for me, and I do not wish to stay anywhere else than with where they are, Haribo. I don't think we should imitate this, because we will become irritated and make certainly offenses. But we should understand, just like Vrindavan has another dimension which is not perceivable by the eyes, the Brijbasis also have another dimension which is not perceivable by my eyes or my Western nerves. They get on our nerves. It is very important to have this understanding. These subjects are so nice. I'm really not very qualified to talk on this. Not qualified at all, but I'm just trying to repeat the many nectar and nectarine little things which we have heard. Actually, Brahma continues a little bit more. Can you still hear three verses? I mean, who wants to say no? This is not the right, this is not a fair way to phrase a question. I would suggest, please hear three more verses. Because we should be... Now Brahma says that he has a problem. His mind doesn't work any longer. My mind becomes bewildered. Just trying to think of what reward other than yourself could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions. It's very important. If you ever want a benediction, happiness, a good marriage, peace of mind, whatever the normal person wants, or know that ultimately everything comes from Krishna. He's the embodiment of benedictions. It all comes from him. Then why do you turn to someone else? Turn to Krishna. It all comes from him. So, you give everyone benedictions. But what will you give the people in Vrindavan? My mind is bewildered. Because you have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. See, Brahma argues, there is nothing more in the form of a benediction than you yourself. Do you agree? I mean, Krishna says, take me. Then there's nothing more. Because Krishna is the embodiment of all benedictions. He can give everything. I remember as a child, I was always preparing myself to meet an angel who would give me whatever I would ask him. I was preparing myself in long nights to think, what would I ask this angel? I would have only one request. It's usually what happens when you meet an angel. He says, you can desire one thing. And I as a child, I was thinking, I will ask the angel for a magical ward, ein Zauberstab. Because with this magical ward, I can get many desires fulfilled. This was my logic. So here, the same logic is we find again in a much, much, much more spiritual dimension. That when you have Krishna, you have everything. So what is higher than Krishna as a benediction? And now, you have given yourself to Putana, the demon, just for herself, disguising herself like a Vaishnava, like I have done also. The disguise only, the heart is not a Vaishnava as of yet. So you have given the thing to her just for the disguise, not for real, being a real Vaishnava. What will you give to anyone else? You have even given yourself to Putana's family members. Yes, Agasura is a family member, and I believe Vakasura. They are the three demon relatives. You have touched them, you have accepted Putana as your family member, you drink her milk in the spiritual world, you have delivered her to the... But the Vrijbasis are not pretending to be devotees. They are real devotees. What will you give them? So, what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relatives, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? The Vrijbasis have said, take my body. When Srimati Radharani has finished the dressing in the morning and looks in the mirror, she begins to cry, thinks, what beauty. But what this, there is no use in this beauty unless it is offered for the pleasure and service of Krishna. They offer everything, their body, their mind, their homes, their wealth to Krishna. So these are real devotees. What will you give them? And then Brahma begins to fall in ecstasy about devotees. Wow, these bridge bhajis are so fantastic. The devotees are so wonderful. Let me also become a devotee. And he says, my dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, the material attachment and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. My dear devotees, this is relevant for you. Don't be tired now. Listen. This is what Brahma says. The master, your origin, you have come from Brahma. At least the bodies have been made by Lord Brahma. He has some knowledge, he has some relationship to you. He is your creator of your material bodies. He says something, if you have attachment, if you don't become a devotee, your desires and attachment will steal everything away from you. They will be thieves. If you don't become a devotee, your home, your palace will be a prison. Still the prison of birth and death. You should say to the richest men in your country, who has built so much, you have made a very interesting prison in which you fools stay. You've voluntarily gone into prison. Strong lot. Interesting point. And attachment to family members are foot shackles. Wow. So Brahma ends his point. Yes, Brahma will now, we will come to the end of Brahma's discussion. He wanted to say goodbye, but he had to say a few things before he really could go. And now comes the last thing. My dear master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. Do you know why Krishna performs these pastimes? For you. There are two reasons. First of all, he likes these pastimes. But the second is he expands the pastimes because a devotee who hears about Krishna's pastimes will have so much pleasure in his heart that he will not like material life any longer. He will want to become a devotee. Prabhupada said this about the Krishna book, that anyone who reads this book will want to become a devotee. I feel it is important for us to hear about Krishna's pastimes, what he personally does. And I will end my little katha today by telling you a very nice Krishna katha which I heard here in Vrindavan from a bridge basi. I will never forget this. It was in Bihari Van. There was this old bridge basi, and he was chanting the names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was chanting and sitting in the warm sun because he was a little old and it was cold. It was maybe it was the end of Kartik where it was already a little cold. So then we came to him and said, you know, when you hear a Vrindavan, a bridge basi, you should ask him to tell you a story of Krishna. Prabhupada once said, when we wanted to hear stories of Krishna, you go to the local people and listen from them. It's called itihasa. So Vijpasi was starting to tell the story. We had a translator. He said, Krishna, he thought for a moment, what story? Because there are millions of stories. Then he said, once Krishna went with his cowherd boyfriends to play, and the agreement was made that the losing party would have to carry the members of the winner party on their backs. So Krishna's party lost. And Krishna also lost. Then Krishna said, today I'm very tired, I don't want to carry anyone. It's just too tired. The friend said, hey Gopal, on what strength can you exclude yourself from the rules of the game? What is your special quality that you can do? Special people don't do need to do what ordinary people do, but how are you special? Krishna thought for a moment and said, I'm the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is the king of Vrindavan. Haha! On what strength is he as a king? He has a few more cows. Just a few more cows. Krishna thought for a moment and he said, no, I don't have to carry you. Listen, I am Narayan. They looked to Gopal, you have already said so many things. Could you please give me just a shade of a proof that you are Narayan? Krishna wanted very much to. Then they became heavy. If you do not either produce the proof that you are Narayan, or carry the other members, then we will not play with you any longer. So this was too much for Krishna. He started to cry. No, please, you must play. Please play with me. And when the Vrijpasi said this, he started to turn his face away because he cried. How Krishna was so miserable that he felt that the boys would not play. I think our Narayan Nimataji, you are a mother also. I think you showed me your son. There's nothing worse or dramatic for a child than if his playmates say we don't play with him. This is very traumatic for a child. It is very bad. It's more bad for a child than for a grown up. The child is devastated if this happens to him. So Gopal was crying. But he also didn't want to carry the members of the opposite party. So he said, okay, I will give it. So you. Close your eyes then. Close your eyes. They closed their eyes. And the next moment they heard Vedic hymns. Na 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 na. Vedic hymns. Better, you know. No, you please chant a Vedic hymn, Purushukta, just so that we get the sound. The Purushukta.
Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapa Sabhuvim Vishvato Vikshva.
Like this. Louder and not so shocked. And they heard this. And they opened their eyes, and there they saw Lord Narayan sitting on the throne, served by many Lakshmis. All opulence was around him. The mightiest personalities of the universe were praising him with different stotra. They felt very intimidated, and then, this is Gopal. He told us he would give the proof, and this is the proof. And they became, for a moment, a little joyful, and started to take their flutes to make some music for Gopal. I mean, they also wanted to praise. But then the other people just took their flutes and said, don't make this noise here. Vedic hymns. And then they became intimidated, and then they started to cry. This was too difficult for Gopal to see. He just took them again to the ground of Vrindavan, to their favorite tree, and they were. And then Sridham said, as the leader of the other boys, "Okay, Gopal, today you don't have to carry, but tomorrow you have to carry. If you lose, then you can also win, Gopal." Or you win. Then the Leela continues in Vrindavan. We will now not continue telling Leelas. I just wanted to tell you, doesn't it make the heart so... I can't tell it like the Vrij Bhasi. I won't cry. Isn't it lovable on every stage of devotion? Govinda, I think you also like very much. One feels just so happy. One feels, yes, this is right. This is good. I want to hear more of this. So, this is said here. Said, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees, because they will hear about these leelas. So now Brahma disappears. He has spoken. We will continue tomorrow at 6:30 with I believe it's the gopis. I'm not sure. I will look it up. Yes, so I thank you very, very much for coming, and being it's a great pleasure to talk. I will try to do better. It's not good because when you hear the real... Anyways, that's a whole different subject. But let us just hear... Let us continue to speak about it wherever we are and whatever we are, and we will get purified. It is said when the Krishna Katar is of the pastimes is taught, three people get purified. It's like the Ganga. When the Ganga comes, all types of people who enter the Ganga get the purifying effect. So when there is Krishna Katha, all types of participants get the effect. The first is the inquirer who puts a question, who wants to know. The second person is he who is standing by and also listening. And the third person is the one who tells the Krishna Leela. All of them enter the Ganges river of Krishna Katha and become blessed. Hare Krishna. We will end here. We will end our evening by doing one more bhajan. Shishtikata here. One more chant here. For those of you who have to leave, for whom it's getting late, this is a good time to leave.